Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Well, enjoy the comedy stylings of our live show. Always funny, the live shows. John Holmberg's a great local DJ and I've been up on stage with quite a bit, have a good rapport with. So be prepared for hilarity to ensue. That's coming up in a moment. First, Bet Online. The wait is finally over. Football is back, Jack. And lots of stuff to get in on Bet Online. Rams at Bills and Texans at Steelers and Packers, Saints, Raiders, Patriots. Also, you got Buccaneers and the Broncos, Titans at Vikings. More options to wager than anywhere else online, from spreads and totals to props. Get in on season opening bonuses and wager on wins and division championship futures. It's all there. Have some fun. Make it interesting. Head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget, promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for another ballsy month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes two Vinnie Tortorich-approved and invented ultra-fat instant energy packs, so you don't reach for that donut. Four shot glass ice molds, so you can keep your whiskey cold and straight down the hatch. A bottle of Chateau Spill, to remove wine stains or blood from the fine silk you're donning. Of course, a bottle of your choice, and the coup de grace, a digital download of the very first basic cable commentary, Roadhouse. This $60 value can be yours for only $25 at CorollaDrinks.com. From the Improv in Tempe, Arizona, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, John Holmberg. With Gina Gratt on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of blah, blah, blah. Plus, Adam Carolla is unprepared. And now, since it's Rosh Hashanah, Adam's dad asked him to buy him a shofar. Adam Carolla!
Hey, thank you guys. Sorry I was late. It's John Holmberg over there, everybody.
Thank you.
You know, from Holmberg's Morning Sickness, weekdays 5:30 to 10 a.m. on 98.
Whoa, excuse us.
KUPD.
Social distance, everyone. Adam.
That's right. Sorry about that. All right, I made a couple of notes here. First off, where I'm staying, they're in full Halloween effect, except for it's 118 degrees outside, which is always weird to me when it's insanely hot, and then you have the big pumpkins and the gargoyles and the headless horseman. You know what it is? I'll tell you, Halloween is not a hot weather holiday because it's all loosely based on the Reese's peanut butter cup. And as soon as it gets over 96 degrees, the Reese's peanut butter cup goes from the fucking best thing you've ever put in your mouth to, how do I get this shit out of the wrapper? Who do I gotta blow to get some of this out of this fucking wrapper? It is, Reese's peanut butter cup is awesome at room temperature. It's awesome when it comes out of the refrigerator, and it's awesome in northern climates. But when it's 114 degrees outside, you just pull it open and go down on it like you're going down on it. It's like going down on a homeless person. I know. Thoughts, John?
Well, the last time I went down on a homeless person, the diarrhea wasn't a problem, so I wasn't reminded of it. But I remember it tasting so much like a Reese's cup, I have to be honest.
Well, I don't normally go down on homeless people, but when you don't want to break a 20 and someone's asking you for money, like, what are you going to do?
You're out of options.
I flew out here a couple hours ago on Southwest, and by the way, I now realize, you know your smoking friends when they made the decree no smoking on flights, right? And so you had your smoker friends going, wow, it's a 6-hour flight from New York to L.A., and they were like kind of freaked out, like they'd be just smoking out on the curb, and then they put the nicotine patch on, and they go on the plane. I'm that way with booze now on the flight. Like, somebody announced, we're not going to have booze on these flights anymore, and I'm out on the curb with a Bota bag with bathtub gin in it, going, I gotta get on that flight. And I went to the Burbank Airport. If you guys want a little tip, and if you want to know science, I was at the Burbank Airport, and I got myself a vodka soda water with lemon in it, and then I got onto the Southwest flight. You know the thing that's interesting about boarding a Southwest flight? It speaks a lot to your sort of dynamic psychologically. Like, I was like, what group? What's our boarding group? I was B1. I was the first one in the B category. And I was looking at my boarding ticket, and I was like, oh, B1, feeling pretty good about myself. Like, I'm the number one in the B group. And then we got there, and there was nobody in the C group. And I was like, fuck this shit. Where are all the losers? They're supposed to be behind me? So I went from happy with my B1 to pissed off because no one else was miserable that they were behind me. Like, do you guys ever do that? You get in line at a Starbucks at an airport, and you're like, shit, there's like 12 people in this line, and you're like, I'm in this line. And then you're in it for a while, and you're like, why aren't people behind me? Like, how come, why am I the last person in this line? Shouldn't it some, after 20 minutes, shouldn't I be the middle person in this line of 12? Why is nobody sidled up behind me? But I got a vodka soda water with lemon in it, and I was drinking it, and we're boarding the plane, and I thought, I'm bringing this drink on the plane, and I went to get on the plane, and as they were checking my ticket, she said, what's in the cup? And I said, just the tears of virgins. No, I said with a straight face, I went, soda water. And she went, okay. Because she wasn't like going to put her pinky in it and then lick it like Jack Lord in Hawaii 5-0. Go like, wait, that's, all right, it's an old reference. But the point is, I go, soda water. She goes, okay. Then I get up and I walk up the ramp and I get onto the plane, and the flight attendant said, what's in the cup? And I went, didn't you hear? Soda water. And she goes, okay. This is why you have to drink clear booze, everybody. Don't fucking get sucked. Don't get stuck on the IPAs or the scotch. Because if you get into the vodka, you can go anywhere with this thing. I was asked 3 times what's in the cup, and I just kept saying soda water each time. But you are going to have to travel with your own booze is the moral of this story, John.
I always find it hilarious whenever people talk about traveling, too, that as men, I don't know if people know this, Adam, I don't know if you do this, but while you're on the plane after you've boarded, as a man, our arrogance kicks in to the point where we'll watch women walk by and go, if this fucker goes down, that's the one I'm nailing. Like we could get an erection and maintain it during a plane crash. It's in our brains that we're that powerful of, you know, visceral men that it's like, yeah, she's two rows behind me. If this thing starts going into the mountains, I'm going into her.
Also, I don't imagine it's happened often, but what if you had picked out your rape victim, John?
No. She's homeless, Adam. It doesn't count.
There was fire coming from the engine on the right wing. You were heading toward the mountain. In fact, you did then charge your victim with an erection. In fact, have sex with this person. And then at some point, the pilot goes full Sullenberger and pulls the thing off and gets on the blower. It's like, we found it. We found a light. And you're pulling out screaming, no, no, no.
Still worth it.
Yes.
There's two heroes on that plane.
That's right. Somebody was reminding me, Mike August was reminding me that the last time I was here was probably 10 years ago, right? The last time I did stand up on this stage. Were you here? All right, so this very weird, be careful what you ask for thing happened when I was here about a decade ago, which was, like, so out of a movie. So I was, I got canned for my radio job, and I was literally just, I had twins. My twins who are 14 now, were, you know, a year and a half, 2 years old, whatever. They were young twins. I got fired from my radio job, and I had no way to make money. I had no radio job. So they said, can you go out and just do stand-up comedy? Like, we'll book you in comedy clubs. I was like, I'm not a stand-up comedian. I don't have an act. And they said, just put something together. We'll sell tickets. We'll put you on the marquee. And so what I did is I did this sort of interactive thing where I had, like, slideshows, and I would talk about, oh, and this is one. I'd kind of, this is your life kind of stand-up with training wheels is basically what it was. Like, I wasn't just doing a rat-a-tat-tat joke thing. And so it was at this club, and I was a few months into doing this, and I was at my hotel a couple miles from here, and Sarah Silverman, stand-up comedian, she called me, and she said, hey, Adam, I'm doing this benefit. Can you play this benefit? And I said, yeah. And she said, where are you? And I said, I'm in Arizona. I'm doing a comedy show. And she said, yeah, I heard you're doing stand-up. What's that like? And I said, well, I'm not really doing stand-up like you're doing stand-up, Sarah. I'm doing this whole sort of AV, you know, PowerPoint presentation thing. It's like, it's cheating. It's cheating. It's stand-up with training wheels. And she said, like, oh, that's nice. And I said, yeah, I'm not really doing stand-up like what you would do. I'm just doing, like, a kind of presentation. And she said, okay. And I hung up the phone. I said, I got to go do the show. And I came to the club, which was this club before they remodeled it. And I got to the club, and both shows were sold out. I did the first show, no problemo, PowerPoint presentation. The second show came around, and about 5 minutes before the show started, the manager came to the green room and said, the light bulb's out on the projector. We got nothing. We got nothing. And I was like, you got nothing. I don't have anything either. And they're like, it's sold out. It's a 90-minute show. I was like, I got nothing. He's like, we don't have a bulb, so you got nothing. So figure it out. And I got a little buck slip, and I made like 5 beats on the buck slip. And I was walking out on stage, and I was thinking, fuck, I just told Sarah Silverman that I don't really do stand-up. I just do this sort of cop-out PowerPoint presentation slide bullshit, and I'm not really a stand-up, and now I'm walking out on stage, and the bulb is gone, and I have to wing it for 90 minutes. And it went really well, And when we were done, the guy who normally runs the slide projector said, "Wow, that was killer. I guess you don't need me anymore." And I was like, "No, I don't." But was, he was joking, but I wasn't. But that was the last time I was here.
You were Digital Carrot Top 10 years
ago. That's right. I was Digital Carrot Top. And there was a local DJ named Meat. Was it Meat? Yes, it was Meat. This guy was named Meat. He was like this burnout guy named Meat. And he was supposed to bring me up on stage. And last show of the last night, Meat goes, he goes, "Hey, first off," he said, "I got a sugar mama." And I was like, "You got a sugar mama?" Because this guy did not look like he was worthy of a sugar mama. And I said to him, "How does this work? Because I want a sugar mama. What do you get with a sugar mama?" And he looked at me and he goes, "How's my sugar mama work?" I go, "How's it work?" He goes, "See this T-shirt?" I go, "Yep." He goes, "She got it for me." I was like, "You got to go down on a Reese's peanut butter cup in July, and all you got's a T-shirt with a dragon on it?" But Meat, and this was at this club too, which made me laugh. Like the very last night, Meat goes, "Hey man, my dad's in the audience." And I go, "Okay, good for you." And he goes, "Can I do about 10 minutes worth of comedy?" And I go, "I don't know, Mate. We're sold out. I don't think these people are here to see you. You got a dragon on your T-shirt." And he's like, "I'll just do 10 minutes. And I go, "I don't think it's a good idea." And he goes, "My dad's sick and he's in the audience." And I go, "Okay, do 10 minutes, Meat." And we're walking through that back door over there before they remodeled this thing, like we're coming through the kitchen. And I said, "Go do it." And he came out, and instead of bringing me out, he did the world's longest, least funny story about nothing. And I was standing through that exit sign back there. And Mike August, who we were just standing with, who booked me, was like looking at me the whole time going, "What the fuck did you tell him? He's doing 10 minutes out there." I go, "His dad's dying. And now he's dying." I think that was the last time I was here, John.
Does it count as a sugar mommy if you met her at Kohl's?
To be fair, he had shorts and the shirt.
Well, at least he wore shorts.
Is anyone ever at that point where you could wear a shirt, short combo, like that matched? Like, you know, when the black NBA baller's reunited with his biological father and he's wearing the collared shirt that matches, like he's got the burnt orange shirt that matches the burnt orange.
It's like a
shorts,
baby onesie. The
and
baby
he's wearing
onesie.
Like he's wearing tasseled loafer shoes as well. And you're like, "I could never pull that shit off."
Tommy Hearns used to wear full suits with shorts.
Yes.
And they matched. Like he cut his slacks and it looked ridiculous. But it was Thomas Hearns.
But no Thomas mistake. Hearns was such a devastating knockout artist as a boxer that they were like, Thomas Hearns started his career as the Motor City Cobra. Yeah. He was the Motor City Cobra, and about halfway into his career, we're like, "One nickname isn't good enough for you, Tommy. We need Tommy the Hitman Hearns." So he was literally, he was the Tommy the Motor City Cobra Hearns, because he was from Detroit, and he punch like a fucking cobra. And then he went to Thomas the Hitman Hearns. And the very first joke I ever told on radio was I was working. So the way I got into radio is I was Jimmy Kimmel's boxing coach on K-Rock in Los Angeles. So I was working as a boxing coach in Los Angeles at a like white collar boxing place, and there was a morning zoo type. Do you know this story? I've ever told this story.
I think I know a little bit about it.
This was like a morning zoo type thing where Jimmy, the sports guy, who was Jimmy Kimmel, was going to fight Michael, the maintenance man, on K-Rock for as a morning show stunt. And they're like, we need boxing trainers. And I was working as a boxing trainer and a carpenter. And I was like, I'll train one of them to box. And I kept calling the radio station, the morning show. And eventually I showed up and I became Jimmy's boxing coach. And they were putting me on the air. So I'm looking at you, John, because you get how this goes. You'd interview the trainer a week before the fight, like, how's the progress, blah, blah, blah. But I was a budding comedian who was a boxing coach. So I was like, how do I be funny doing this morning radio show and actually be like a legitimate boxing coach? So the first joke I ever told on the radio was in 1994. It was probably about May 1994, right before the boxing match. And Kevin and Bean said, we need to interview the coaches and see how the progress is going. And so they were asking me about Jimmy, like, how's the progress? Now, I didn't even care if I got Jimmy or Michael, the maintenance man, but I got Jimmy. And they said, you know, how's it going? I said, well, it's going good. I said, we're looking for a nickname, you know, because you need a good nickname if you're going to be a boxer. And I was thinking, Jimmy, now, I was thinking, like, he's Italian, so, like, the Italian Tornado or something like that. And then he's from Brooklyn, so I was, like, thinking, like, maybe Brooklyn Assassin. I'm toying around with that idea. But after seeing him spar, we just went with Jim. That was my first joke I ever told on Kevin and Bean. There is Jimmy. This is me delighted. This is me. That's young me watching Jimmy get pummeled by Michael, the maintenance man.
As a betting man, just looking at this photo, I can tell you who's going to win the fight. Just visually, Jimmy had no chance. And you did a great job training him. I don't think he's ever been in better shape.
Jimmy,
he looks like an egg out of a shell.
The thing that's funny, he's wearing my old faded boxing trunks I wore in, like, I wore in the Golden Gloves in 1982. And then also, the thing that was funny about Jimmy, so I was training him, I realized, like, immediately he didn't want to train, and I wanted to talk comedy immediately. So I was like, he'd hit the speed bag for like 10 minutes. I'd go, why don't we go upside and get up top and we'll get a Snapple. Go up top and get a Snapple. Like, trained out in we're in a basement. I was like, well, there's a cafe up there. We'll get a Snapple. We'll talk strategy. And then we just go up top and we talk about Benny Hill for 4 hours. And that was basically his training regimen. So, yeah, Jimmy
was the maintenance man. Like, had you gotten the maintenance man, would it have been you and the maintenance man doing the man show? Or would it have worked with Jimmy had his trainer? How did your life change because of this?
Oh, my God. It
like
was,
if you would have switched.
Nobody really fully understands that, which is Michael, the maintenance man, worked at the radio station. He was there for like 3 years. Jimmy had started like 7 weeks earlier. Michael, the maintenance man, was a brother. Jimmy looked like a cannoli that had too much stuffing in it. Like the cream was bursting out of the end. And so I was like, I want to train Michael, the maintenance man, because he's been there and he's more athletic and he's bound to win the fight. So when I called up, I was like, no one ever answered the phone, but I was like, I wanted to train Michael, the maintenance man. But when no one ever answered the phone, I just showed up at the radio station. When I showed up at the radio station, Michael, the maintenance man, was like with the street team giving away beer koozies at the 4-day tire exchange and like our leader or something. And Jimmy was there. So when I banged on the door, Jimmy is the one who came out, and the rest is history. And by the way, now he's hosting the Emmys tonight. Yeah. Yeah, I just talked to him today. It's like I'm hosting the Emmys. I'm like, good. I'm going to Arizona to tell stories about you. Yeah.
A perfect time for Hollywood to start handing itself awards, I think.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think
it's a great time right now for them to start giving out some awards for all their hard work during the pandemic.
I love all those commercials, like all those things. Like, Hi, I'm Jennifer Aniston. I'm in my gymnasium now. Here's how I stay busy with my kids. And it's like, no one feels sorry for you. By the way, I do like the I like the high water mark for Hollywood for all the celebrities that are in like quarantine, which is I do shit with my kids. Normally, I pay a Guatemalan woman to do shit with my kids, but in this particular instance, I am doing shit with my kids myself. Woo!
Heroes. Heroes of parenting.
Heroes who stay home and do things with their kids.
Actually interacting with those things. It's unthinkable for us average folk.
Yes, I know. I know. You have kids, John?
No. Good God, no. I had a vasectomy 3 years ago, and every time people talk about their children, my balls tingle and say thank you out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just never had the drive. I don't have the patience, and I'm way too selfish. I always want to be the favorite person in my house.
Oh, really?
I get jealous of the dogs. Like, not jealous, but like, where's my fucking cookie? Like, you're giving them treats. Every time they take a piss, they get something.
Right.
I come out with pecker tracks in my pants, and I just get a bad look.
Yeah.
Taiji.
I got twins, and yeah.
Sounds great. My balls are just going,
I like, you know, everyone talks about wanting a time machine so they can, like, go back and kill Hitler or something like that. I just want a fucking time machine so I can take my snot-nosed twins back to 1974 and have my fucking parents raise them in the San Fernando Valley with no goddamn air conditioning for 10 minutes. And then they'd come back to present time and they'd be crying and hanging onto my leg and weeping openly and sobbing, begging for forgiveness. Jesus Christ. Think about how we all grew up. Like, my fucking, I don't know how you grew up, but like, my family was like, I'd say to my dad, the ice cream truck's coming down the street. Can I have a quarter? And my dad'd be like, a quarter? Are you trying to kill me?
My dad had a 1976 El Camino.
Oh, sweet.
That was really sweet. But we lived in northwestern Indiana, and his parents lived in northwestern Pennsylvania. And an El Camino, for those of you who don't know, not the roomiest vehicle, right?
No.
But four people.
Bench seat all the way.
Bench seat, but my dad would scoot it up 8 inches and stuff me and my sister behind the seat
behind
and drive to Pennsylvania.
Behind the bench seat?
Yeah. And I look at kids today
you
and it's like...
You can't get a fucking .22 rifle behind of an El Camino.
8-year-old and a 5-year-old in the SS El Camino blazing across Ohio. And the worst part about it was... He wouldn't scoot up to make us comfortable. He still needed to... No, I gotta get my fucking legs right if you're... You kids shut up back there. So we rode the entire way, and I see kids now, 55-pound, 8-year-old, whatever, malnourished little weird kid, sitting backwards in his own special chair, and I'm like, you lucky little fuck. I was trapped between the bed of an El Camino and my dad's ass for 8 hours across Ohio. It was horrifying. But we didn't know. We were making a game of it. My sister and I... We'd get those sucky sticks at a Stuckey's, like the cinnamon, and just shiv each other like prisoners in the back of the El Camino. Because they couldn't reach us. No one could hit us anymore. They couldn't get back. Their arms didn't fit. So we got away with murder in there.
Just on the subject of children, safety, and travel, like, if you think about it, like, I circled the globe in the bed of a pickup truck, like, just sitting on the fender in the back of a pickup truck. My dad had a 63 VW Bug. The seats, the thing that was great about a VW Bug, forget about the headrest. There was no headrest, lap belt, whatever. The seats just flopped forward. There didn't even like somebody in Stuttgart in like 1962 was like, Hans, should we put a latch? Oh, no, it's too expensive. It weighs too much. No, just let the seat flap forward. We didn't have any money. We couldn't go to Knott's Berry Farm or Disneyland, but this thing had, like, a rag top. It wasn't a convertible. It had that big, like, weird canvas thing, kind of sunroof. You would pull it and slide it back. And for fun, we would just stand on the passenger seat and hang out of the thing, you know, like King of the World, like Leonardo DiCaprio hanging out of this VW Bug. Like, I've went... We'd go motorcycle riding with my friend Chris. He'd load up the back of the Chevy Silverado, and we'd just ride in between the motorcycles all the way out to Acquedose Canyon in the bed of a truck. Like, there were no rules, right?
We're alive.
We're alive.
Are we alive? I don't get it.
I know. I know. It'd be so awesome for the audience if I never made it out of that truck right now. It'd be confusing, but awesome. All right, Max Zapata, we're going to bring on Gina and Brian and do some blah, blah, blah.
Let's do it.
Let me hit LifeLock here before we heat up Brian and Gina and play a little blah, blah, blah. Ah, that's right. Wow, LifeLock. You guys want to protect yourself. You want to get LifeLock. Identity theft, man. Come on. You need to protect yourself. It's... there's all these scams out here. What I've figured out with folks, what I've figured out about criminals is they're lazy cowards who would rather just sit home and hack into your account and steal all your information and hammer the checks that way than bust into your house and get hit with rock salt in the ass or bit by a Labrador. Let's make it a German Shepherd. I got to laugh. They're not biting anybody. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our information out on the internet. You could miss certain threats if you're just monitoring your credit alone. Good thing there's LifeLock. Protect yourself with LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one prevents all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can find out if your information is on the dark web. Get your free dark web scan at lifelock.com/scan. Pick the plan that's right for you and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. It's a free scan at lifelock.com/scan and 25% off with promo code Adam.
All right, Gina, nice job, Dawson.
Sorry,
Gina
about
Grad
doll,
over here, Paul Bryan over there.
Hey.
You look good, Gina. What's going on?
God bless you. I got a new top that I thought I would premiere here on the show.
Nice.
And I as my mom said, stop looking like you combed your hair with a candy apple. So I colored it for you.
What happened to criticizing kids?
Didn't stop in the grad house.
I know. Like, it was just a general thing. Like, my mom... So I was a kid, I was the same way I am now. I'm like, oh, here's a thought, here's an idea, here's a thought. And every once in a blue moon, I'd go like, oh, mom, I can't remember what I want to say. I can't remember what I was going to say. And she'd just go, must not have been very important. Like, thanks, cunt. By the way, every time you said to me, must not have been very important, that equals another 9 months of me digging ditches on a construction site. Thank you. But, so you guys ready to play a little blah, blah, blog?
I've never been more ready. Let's do it. Now,
John, you know the rules to blah, blah, blog?
I can figure it out. It doesn't sound hard.
That's good. Well, Chris has an open.
It's time for blah, blah, blog. The game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
All right, so earlier this week, celebrities announced that they would not post on Facebook or Instagram for one day in an effort to hashtag stop hate for profit. These are some of their posts, encouraging their fans to do the same. Lies spread wider and faster than the truth, but Facebook makes too much money to stop misinformation designed to keep us separated and enraged. Because that gets clicks, and clicks make money. Trump won't regulate them because this chaos behooves him and his masters. Dark times, but darkness can't exist in the light. Let's shed some light on this shit by demanding Facebook stop hate for profit. Is it Sarah Silverman? Alyssa Milano? Or Amy Schumer.
Oh. My thing, like, I'd like to talk to Facebook. Like, hey, Facebook, I demand you stop hate. And also, what's up with gravity? Fucking had a hard time getting off the sofa. You fix that shit. Misinformation. How come there wasn't a Sandra Bullock movie from the 90s called Misinformation? Like,
she, I think Kate Hudson must have pitched that.
She worked for the phone company. She was a widow, and all of a sudden she had to solve crime.
It's not too late for that. I'd still watch that.
It's not. All right. All right. Now, this can't be Sarah Silverman, right?
So.
She's too smart for that shit, right?
Until the choices came up, I was thinking Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but it may be too soon for that.
Is too
that
soon.
Too soon. That was cheap, I admit it. I'm just going topical, over topical.
All right. It drives me nuts because, like, I have this thing with comedians where, like, they should be funny or interesting or smart or something, but this could be Amy Schumer, right? Like, I hate it when comedians go down this road. Like, I don't mind vitriolic. I just want a little twist at the end, not just crazy and angry. I'm going to go Alyssa Milano. It's low-hanging fruit. It's low-hanging fruit.
You know, it's that moment when, like musicians and comedians find, like, sobriety, and the last 10 minutes of their act is, like, to tell you, ham-handedly tell you everything they believe, really.
Yeah, I hate that.
So I'm kind of thinking Amy Schumer after the pregnancy and everything.
Yeah,
so I'm
going to
lean towards that right now. She's got...
To be fair to Amy Schumer, she is the only female on the planet to ever fucking get pregnant. It's like, bitch, we get it. You're pregnant. My mom's the worst person in the world. She was pregnant twice. Move on. Maybe three times. Who the fuck knows what she was up to?
Three times, fool.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. All right, so you're going with... Amy Schumer?
I'll go Schumer on this.
Brian, what do you think?
Total shot in the dark. I have no idea. I'm going to go Silverman off the board.
Oh, boy. I pray it's not. Gina?
I think at first, the whole time he was reading it, I thought it was a dude. So that would lead me towards Amy or Sarah. But you're right. There was nothing, like, super-duper clever about it, as is Sarah's kind of signature thing. I'm going Amy Schumer.
All right.
The blog belongs to... Sarah Silverman.
Oh,
come on.
I knew it. Sarah, come on. What happened to the comedy?
It's a travesty.
It's a travesty. Yeah.
Tough stuff.
All right. Wait,
was the audience rooting for, like, Alyssa Milano to, like, just to fucking hate her a little more?
By the way, I don't know, I brought up misinformation, but I also said low-hanging fruit. That would have been a good 90s. Yeah. Like, Jim Bullock is.
Low-hanging fruit. I think Sandra Bullock also could have played that for some reason. They could have gotten together.
All right, here we go, Dawson.
These tools were not built to spread hate, violence, and misinformation. But when companies and individuals benefit from these behaviors, financially or otherwise, it becomes their responsibility to mitigate the unintended utilization. Is it Ashton Kutcher, Mark Ruffalo, or Orlando Bloom?
Oh, boy.
I'm leaning. I'm definitely leaning.
This is a murderer's row of douche. This is a tsunami of douche.
It's the supermarket aisle.
Ashton Kutcher is like, his whole thing is like, I know I'm hot, but I'm going to spend every waking hour dissuading you for thinking about me being hot and just do everything like, you know, tell me how you got in on the ground floor of Uber. Tell me how you fund all these startup companies and now you're some sort of champion for civil rights. Ruffalo... You know it's weird, like celebrities, like you think about celebrities from like the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. Like back in the day, if you were a celebrity in the 40s, you're like, I'm gonna get a Duesenberg, I'm gonna fuck underage chicks, and I'm gonna drive drunk everywhere. And I'll never get a ticket. And that's and I'll smoke in every airport. Like, that's what celebrities did. It was awesome being a celebrity. And now fucking Mark Ruffalo's like, oh, I got to just wring my hands and worry about the fate of humanity and put these fucking sullen, earnest tweets out there all the time. This can't be Kutcher. Can it be Kutcher? No. Orlando Bloom. Orlando Bloom, I was watching TMZ. This can't be Orlando Bloom because I was watching TMZ. By the way, he just had a kid. You know what he named his kid?
It's Katy Perry's kid, too, right?
Katy Perry.
What did they
name? No, he named his kid Daisy, which is a smart move. Daisy Bloom.
Oh,
right?
Oh, wow.
I mean, he could have went with Judy, but he went with Daisy. But the point is I saw pictures of him. He had a custom 50s pickup truck, much like your dad's late 60s. Did he have a 454 in that El
the
Camino?
Big engine. That's why we took
big
it across
block El Camino. Yeah. Badass. Cowl induction.
I don't know.
I was four. Your dad must have smoked like three cigarettes at a time.
My mom
smoked
a pack, and my dad bitched about it. He secondhand smoked like two packs a day.
Oh, really? Mom, so okay, yeah. Good. Because anyone, they won't sell you an El Camino unless you're smoking. Like, if you go to like a used car lot in 1974, and like, I want a 454 El Camino with the cowl induction. They'd be like, where are your cigarettes? You're like, excuse me, you want my license? No, cigarettes. We can't sell these things. Rules are rules. So Orlando Bloom had a custom pickup truck. It was on TMZ a couple of days ago. And he's down in Malibu. And he's got these wakeboard hydrofoil things. Have you seen the things? They have the fin on them and they're electric and you ride up above the waves. Yes, that's him. That's him. He's riding on this. It's riding on this thing. And I thought, this is a happy guy. This guy's out enjoying nature. And also, this guy, I like this guy's attitude because he's like, I want to go in the ocean, but I don't want to deal with the waves. And someone's like, well, that's kind of one of the things you get when you go to the ocean. He's like, I'd like to be 8 to 10 inches above the waves. And someone's like, how's that going to work, Orlando? And he's like, well, what if I got a Ziffy board and I put a motor on it and we put a keel in it and I just rode above the surface of the water? Like, what if Jesus Christ was alive today? How do you think he would have gotten around? Do you think he would have simply walked on water? Or would he take a Sea-Doo? So I got to believe Jesus eventually would have to hop a Sea-Doo or Orlando Bloom's electric Ziffy board. This is a man of action.
Yeah.
This is a man who embraces life. This is not a miserable fuck who writes these soliloquies out there. I'm taking Orlando Bloom off this list.
You can't own that thing and be like worried about civilization. You don't give a fuck if you're like, the ocean's too... I'm going above that shit. I'm going to ride above it. I'm better than that. Yeah, this thing is a person who's just enjoying it.
I don't care how many dolphins I nick. Yeah. I am riding this fucking thing. So, Orlando...
Look at that. Yeah, the dude is... No.
He's chugging a fucking can of beer. He's got his electric Ziffy board. Max Zapata, is there... I swear to God... A day ago on TMZ, it was Orlando Bloom with Katy Perry's dad, who's a preacher. Have you guys seen Katy Perry's dad? Oh, my God.
No.
Katy Perry's dad is like some kind of minister where the whole thing about the men who share the good news about Jesus Christ, they're either wearing a suit with nothing else, or they have tons of fucking jewelry and like a bad weave. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why there's no intermediate preachers out there, but Katy Perry's dad is some kind of preacher and he's festooned with medallions and necklaces and brooches and shit like that. And there's a picture of Orlando Bloom and Katy Perry's dad. He's got this slammed custom 50s pickup truck, and he has two of these electric hydro boards hanging out of it. Anyway, this guy, he's not a guy who's bitching about Facebook. No. I've taken him off the list. So who else do we have, Dawson? Sorry.
If Ashton Kutcher.
Yes.
And Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo.
Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, Ruffalo is so easy on this
one. And actually, the quote wasn't douchey enough for Ruffalo. Like, Ruffalo's always, like, it's that weird, you know, I just think the world has to grow so independent. Like, shut the fuck up. You're whispering. You're the Hulk, for Christ's sake.
Right.
Have a fucking force behind your voice. And he's always crying. And
right.
I think because it didn't make any sense at all, and it was just a lot of big words, like when your friends in college get drunk and try to solve every problem.
Right.
It reminds me of a Kutcher thing. I'm leaning Kutcher on this.
I'm going with John. I'm going Kutcher on this one, too. Brian?
Sometimes a portion of these jump out at you, like when in this one it said something to the effect of, oh, when corporations like this benefit financially or otherwise, how else would a corporation benefit? Like street cred for having hate on their site? This is a stupid tweet. I'm going to go with Kutcher.
He's an angel investor. I think he'd like to keep corporate America on the happy side. So I'm going to get off the Kutcher train and jump on to the Ruffalo Express.
It's going to be right. Bloom. It's going to be Bloom.
Brian, who'd you go with, Brian?
Ashton Kutcher.
Okay, so we've got three Kutcher, one Ruffalo.
It's a fucking Bloom. It'd be awesome if it's Orlando Bloom.
All aboard the Kutcher train. The blog belongs to Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was the drunk uncle thing. It's like the independence of corporations in the... We won't tolerate it.
Orlando Bloom is with his father-in-law, who's Katy Perry's preacher dad, who's wearing a lot of silver.
Is that Robert Conrad? Is her father Robert Conrad?
No.
It's Wild Wild West after Treatment.
Brian, what do you think?
I think he's with Sloth from Seven.
Yeah.
He looks like his hashtag would be Leather Daddy for the Lord.
Yes. Yeah, he's got a leather vest on and a short sleeve shirt and a lot of silver swinging from his neck. And then there's another picture of the custom pickup truck with the Ziffy board in the back. So the good news is everyone hates their father-in-law. And it makes me happy, everyone. All right. What else we got, Dawson?
We are 46 days from the election, and the fact remains that dollars are being spent on the promotion of hatred, white supremacy, and lies when it comes to our democracy. Kenosha was a terrorist attack that started from a Facebook group which was promoted by the platform. Do your research. Not everything you read on the internet is true. Not everything is false either, but it's important that we make sure we're sharing, promoting, and spreading the truth and joy and love. Sending you love always, XOXO.
Hold on, can I say this? How much joy and love is the internet responsible for?
Right.
With your cock in your pants, I'm saying. I'm not talking about the love like you, Bourne. I'm saying, like, you want a little joy. How about you fucking go outside and build a goddamn treehouse? What are you finding? Why are you on the internet looking for joy and love and truth? How about you fucking get a wiffle ball and hit it to your special needs son? Why are we... Who thinks it's regular baseball, by the way? Don't say anything. Don't tell him. Sorry, who's this going to be, Dawson?
Is it Lenny Kravitz?
Oh, Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, no.
Kerry Washington.
Oh.
Or John Boyega.
I can't believe there's any male choices.
Wow.
That's surprising.
Lenny Kravitz, like, what if Lenny Kravitz looked like, Lenny Dykstra? Like, let's just say... Because, like, Lenny Kravitz is like, let me take my shirt off and play American Woman on a Stratocaster. And then everyone goes, we're all ears, Lenny. Like, what do you got? But when you're doughy and white and dumpy and fat and you have orthodonture problems and you start preaching about this shit, everyone's like, shut up, fatty. I've heard enough out of you.
I have so much guilt with Kerry Washington because of the movie Last King of Scotland. That I actually masturbated to the scene after she'd been quartered and laid out naked on the... I can admit that. We're friends, right? It was horrible. horrible moment, but I'm like, when am I going to see her naked again? Who knew? She did two more nude scenes. I had some guilt to live with for a while.
I met Kerry Washington backstage at a David Mamet play in New York that David Alan Greer was in. And
that was the best Mad Lib sentence ever, by the way.
Yes, I know. She was one of in the David Mamet play Race, which she was in. I met her after the show, like backstage, and she was like, I don't know, no one had heard of her. This is right. God, probably 15 years ago or whatever. She was sweet. I saw her a couple of months ago at one of those, you know, when they did the live All in the Family and the live Jeffersons. She was at a party over there as well. She's nice to me, become sort of an activist. I don't know, who's the last fella?
It's Star Wars, the most recent Star Wars.
He's a Star Wars guy?
That's fantastic.
Okay. I haven't seen Star Wars since 1977.
Yeah, like
so he's happy. I don't know. Gina, why don't you go first on this one?
Oof. All right. Well, let's see. The XOXO leads me toward Lenny. But I feel like Carrie might be... I think it's a very male thing to be like, do your research. No offense, guys. So I'm going to stay with the dudes. I don't know enough about Boyega. Love and Light and Love was the end of it. I'm going Lenny.
You go Kravitz. Yeah. Brian, where's Brian? Is he up there?
I'm right here.
Okay, Brian, what do you like? Who do you like?
Well, when I heard this being read, I thought old, out-of-touch person because... there's no way Facebook was promoting this hate group, and I think it represents a fundamental misunderstanding of how Facebook works. So when Lenny first came up, I was like, no. But now I'm like, it's fucking Lenny Kravitz. So
he's
Lenny
the oldest.
Kravitz. Yeah.
John, what do you think?
The XOXO thing made me think that it was somebody trying to make up for being too, like, brr.
Right.
And that would make me lead.
Soften.
Kerry Washington would kind of be like the feminine touch at the end there.
Mm-hmm. So Lenny Kravitz ruined my bachelor party because we went to Lake Tahoe, I think, for my bachelor party, and on Saturday we rented a boat, and like the skipper took us out, and the only CD he had on this boat, it was like me and Jimmy and Jeff Ross and a bunch of those guys, you know. And we're like, we're going to have some fun out on the boat, jump in the water, blah, blah, blah. And the only CD he had was The Best of Lenny Kravitz, which angered me. And then it angered everyone on the ship. Even the first mate was upset.
Even the fish.
And... I became obsessed because I'm obsessed with narcissism, and I know Lenny Kravitz is a massive narcissist, and I got the Best of Lenny Kravitz CD, and I pulled out the jacket that had the liner notes and all the pictures and stuff in it, and I just kept going through it, and there's all these little pictures of, like, Lenny Kravitz live and him with his cats and him with his mom and blah, 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 and I counted... 56 pictures of Lenny Kravitz in this. This is a CD. This is a jewel case that's 4x4. There were 56. And, of course, I was drunk on this boat. And I went up to everyone. I was like, guess how many pictures of Lenny fucking Kravitz are in this goddamn CD? You tell me. You guess. And they're like, how about we smoke a joint and jump in the lake? And I was like, no. Not till you guess how many goddamn pictures of Lenny fucking Kravitz are on that CD that they won't stop playing. So he essentially ruined my bachelor party and my marriage, really. And for that, I'm going to say Lenny Kravitz.
All right. Log belongs to... Kerry Washington.
No! Oh!
Damn it.
Wait a minute, you're mad that I got it? What the hell?
What's the score here, Dawson? Let's do one more.
I got nothing.
Ace, you have one. Bald Brian and John are tied at two, and Gina Grad is off the board.
All right. Well, Gina, you're out. Let's just do the next one to get one right wins.
Oh, wait a minute.
That's fair.
That's not how math wrap works. It up.
John, this is pretty normal around here.
That's how I run my show. I don't like this anymore. This is what I do.
This is how you play basketball when you're losing. Like, you're up 28-9. All right, next basket wins. Let's do this.
This is the pullout method Zuckerberg doesn't want you to use. Facebook ignores hate and disinformation, putting profits over people and democracy. How long can they ignore it if their advertisers pull out? Jesus. Is it Trevor Noah, Chelsea Handler, or Tom Arnold?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Good luck to you all.
I don't know. Is it crazy enough for Tom Arnold?
He didn't mention AA once, so I'm going to say right. Tom Arnold's out.
What happened to goddamn comedy over here? Yeah. All right, let's just let's say this will be between John and Brian at 2-2. We'll you guys pick one. It's possible that there's a third.
Yeah.
This feels like Chelsea to me. That's all.
Usually there's a C-bomb in a Chelsea tweet that's mad.
Well, that's
John,
true.
Yeah.
And so she show her tits a lot.
Plus that. If only she was quartered, I could do something with that. The it seemed like well thought out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that Tom Arnold has the capabilities. I'm going to go with Trevor Noah on that one. I like Trevor Noah here.
Trevor Noah. Yeah. Brian?
Yeah, my hunch, this is not clever enough for Trevor Noah. I'm going Chelsea Handler.
Mm. Oh, all right, this is it.
Or the win.
For blowjobs.
The blog belongs to Chelsea Handler.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Brian. Congratulations.
You're right. It was a lot of pull-out talk and enough for Trevor Noah.
That's true.
All right. We have an outro.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blah.
Oh, there's the picture. All right, so Orlando Bloom is in his custom 50s pickup truck, and in the back of his pickup truck are these sort of electric wave. You can kind of see it. It's a little blurry, but it's a hydrofoil with an electric motor and a propeller on the back of it. I wonder if Orlando Bloom is just going up and down PCH with this shit, with this blade hanging out the back, and all the Mexican gardeners are like, ese, that guy's on top of the world, dude. That guy is the best weed whacker and the coolest pickup truck. That
There's
was my
no
Mexican
paneling
gardener.
On the back, man. You're supposed to build up the sides and cover up your shit.
I love that they blanked out the license plate, because without that, we have no idea who's driving this car.
Yes.
Now that we all know he drives the Smucker's truck from the commercial.
Yeah. Is that Orlando Bloom in his slammed custom teal pickup truck with the hydrofoils hanging out the back? I don't know. Let me check the license plate. Yeah. All right. Should we do a little news, Gina Grad?
Do it.
Let's do it.
News with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drug meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad. Brought to you by Bet Online.
So you mentioned the Emmys, Adam, and something that we hadn't talked about were the Emmys hazmat suits.
Hmm.
Because according to TMZ, presenters will be wearing complete hazmat suits to hand out awards as safely as possible. But not just any hazmat suit, a fancy
tuxedo
hazmat suit.
Really?
With the social distancing and all, producers say there will be some in-person interaction, which creates the need for the Emmy-branded hazmat suit. And this is created and designed by someone named Katja Cahill, famous costume designer who usually dresses Academy Awards presenters, now does the waving inflatable guy at the used car dealership. Mm.
You know, first off, what the fuck is going on in this world? I just got off a fucking crowded Southwest flight. Most of the people were wearing their masks like a sack hammock, like it was stretched out and down around their nutsack. Like, what? Are celebrities Are they like an endangered species? Are they have a lowered immune system? They have problems with their T cell counts? Like, are they like John Travolta in that Boy in the Plastic Bubble movie? Like, what's going on? Like, what?
I like the idea that the red carpet would be like, who are you wearing? Oh, tonight I'm wearing formal Walter White.
That's right.
I'm wearing Hefty.
Yeah. By the way, they're all wearing the outfit that college wrestlers wear before they weigh in. They're literally sweating off the pounds before they go on. But you know what? This would be good if there was a red carpet. Like if you put on the full Hefty bag tuxedo. And by the way, if there's ever a time to wear fur, now is the time. Because when one of those PETA assholes threw the paintballs at you, you'd go, how do you like me now, bitch? I'm wearing a fucking garbage bag. It's a long way to go for a joke. I do admit that. So I had an email with Jimmy and before, like in the airport, and you know the best. I'll tell you the best. If you've done a few award shows, like I've done, I've been with Jimmy for the Emmys and a couple of Oscars and all this kind of shit, and I know how it goes. And so the Friday before the Emmys or before the Oscars or whatever, it's just total clusterfuck crunch time. Like that's where you're sifting through all the jokes and it's just like you're trying to get everything together. And it's such a pressure cooker at this point. I remember, I think Jimmy was hosting, did he host like the, I don't know, the block. I think I hosted like the Blockbuster Music Awards or something like that, or the Blockbuster Video Awards or something in like a former life. But I think Jimmy did one of those music award shows, and it was like Dick Clark had put the thing on, and it was Dick Clark as he was getting into his waning years, you know? And I knew Dick Clark had like lost a step because we had this weird little sort of corral set up like right by the stage. So the way these award shows works is, or used to work, if somebody came up and like Kanye West, you know, jumped up on stage and grabbed Taylor Swift's Grammy or something like that, as the host, you'd have to say something. You'd have to have a joke when you went back out there. And obviously you wouldn't anticipate that. So there was this weird little room with like the black duvetine. They made a little corral back there, and the joke writers would be like, oh shit, this just happened with the acceptance speech. Like, here's a joke. Like, why don't you say this? Like, here's Jimmy be writing jokes feverishly. And Jimmy was out of this little corral, and I was sitting in there writing jokes, and Dick Clark threw the curtain open and he looked at me and he went, Jimmy, get back out there. And I was like, all right, but I'm dropping N-bombs. And I'm like, and I realized, I think Dick had lost a step at that point because he pointed at me to go back out on stage. So, sorry, Gina, where were we?
Well, let's stick with celebrities for a second because a $6 crown has made some history. The Notorious B.I.G.'s famed King of New York crown got sold at auction for a lot more than it was purchased for, which was $6. The headpiece Biggie wore in his iconic final photo shoot in 1997 just got sold off in a Sotheby's auction. And I know you and TMZ are married, Adam, so you probably already know the number. But would anyone like to guess what it sold for? This is a plastic $6 crown that was purchased off the street before the photo shoot.
Did the painting of one of the angry pigs come with it? I'm not sure that's a good flattering photo of Biggie.
Well, look, I'll tell you.
It looks a little bit like it. You all thought so.
I'll tell you that the photo almost didn't happen because Diddy didn't like it because he said it made him look like Burger King.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
what did it sell for?
It's not the same crown.
I wish somebody had shot the Burger King in 1998, like, or whatever he was shot. I did not see this on TMZ, so I don't know what happened. I watched the show religiously, so I did not see this. Somebody just shouted out 80 grand, so I'm going with 80 grand. What do you guys think?
I was thinking a little lower, 50K.
50?
I have to bow out. I actually know.
What's that?
Okay.
I actually know.
Oh, you
You're
do know.
You're accusing yourself.
Okay. Yeah,
that was a dignified thing to do.
Yeah.
You guys are so low on this. It ended up going for $594,000. Oh, and $750,000. So almost $600,000 for that thing.
Wow. No goddamn idea it'd be worth that much. But
the economy
you know,
is fine. Everybody can be quiet. We have plenty of money.
Did they ever figure out who shot him, or was it like some LAPD guy, and there was some sort of weird story, right? There was a whole conspiracy, right?
Yeah, they don't know any of, like, they haven't solved any mysteries of him or Tupac.
You guys, he was shot at the Peterson Automotive Museum. I remember, like, I'm a car guy, so I remember hearing that. I was like, they're like, Biggie Smalls is dead. I was like, are the cars okay? As a guy who's not that into rap, I was into vintage cars. Of course, I had my concerns. You know,
sure.
To John Stead's El Camino, was it hit?
Were the kids in it?
But anyone who knows Los Angeles, that is smack dab in the middle of the Miracle Mile and Wilshire Boulevard. Like, there's not a good way to escape.
How do you get away?
Yeah, I know. I mean, you could get to the 10 freeway. It would take you a little bit. Take you a little bit of time. Like it seems like a very catchable place to commit a crime. It is not, you know, the desert outside of Vegas, 1957. You know, this is right in the middle of Los Angeles. Now, if that crime happened today, there'd be tons of video footage, right? All the surveillance stuff, Ring doorbell cameras, blah, blah, blah. Like, we would see the assailant, the car. We never did solve that one, right?
No, and I've listened to multiple podcasts, and the big reveal at the end is these podcasts don't go anywhere. So I think that we are still up in the air about that one. And Tupac, don't forget.
I used to get suckered into that stuff, too. Like the ones, like, you know, going in that they never solve the crime,
right.
But you still listen to the whole thing. Like I used to, when I was a kid, it'd be like, hi, I'm Leonard Nimoy, the Loch Ness Monster. True or false? Tonight, we blow the lid off the cover of the Loch Ness Monster. And I'd be like, okay, good, finally. We're gonna see the Loch Ness Monster. And then like, they'd get to the end, it'd be like, hi, I'm Leonard Nimoy. You decide what's real. And I was like, what? I decide. I just invested 56 minutes of my fucking life into this fiasco. Now I got to decide?
Did you see the story that there were 7 people still this year that have seen the Loch Ness Monster? They're like, we don't have the technology now to have gone through that lake over the last 1,500 years to go down and go, it's not real.
We
but 7
sonar.
People have still reported it.
Can you imagine?
It's driftwood.
The Loch Ness Monster was probably 65% of my childhood. Like, is there or isn't there? We have a grainy black and white footage of is that doctor? Could you imagine me trying to get my 14-year-old kids into the Loch Ness Monster? Like, hey, there's this body of water in Europe, and there's this thing that maybe a dinosaur that could live in it and be like, fuck off, old man. I'm playing Fortnite.
Like they don't have camera phones in Scotland yet that can get something better than a 1950s grainy shot.
There's literally the one shot from 1957 of the Loch Ness Monster. There is no... Chris, is there an updated shot of the Loch Ness Monster? I don't...
Have you been to the lake?
No!
Yeah, the answer is no.
No, and there's... I mean, all we had was Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, and then there was, like, this thing of, like, you know, were the pyramids built by aliens?
Yeah, I fall for that one.
And then they would show, like, a painting from the day, but it was a stick figure, and the head was round. It's like, could this have been a helmet? It's like, it could have been a helmet, or maybe the guy who drew it was fucking high. We'll never know, Leonard Nimoy.
He's
dead.
Whatever happened to the abominable snowman?
Mm,
that's real.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that picture that you've seen, it's from 1934, and it's a hoax.
Oh, it's a hoax?
Yeah.
You don't say.
What? It's yeah. a hoax?
That one from
1934. Explain yourself.
I know, look, many years is believed to be real.
The Loch Ness Monster is gone. The Loch Ness Monster didn't have a second name. The Abominable Snowman had Yeti, right? Yeah. And then Bigfoot had Sasquatch, right? Yeah. Right. And
do you know there are people that are alive now, like present day adults that go squatching?
No, I did
they
not
like,
know.
They'll
Wasn't
take
that
a
the
long
homeless
weekend.
Lady thing?
No, squatching. That's when you shit in the woods.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, that's. Don't get that confused with splotching, which is when you sit in like a tub of pudding naked and men pay you. I wouldn't know. You can take a long weekend off, like, you know, from your job in the Pacific Northwest and go squatching, which is to look for Sasquatch. So that's still currently happening.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I remember, I do remember very clearly when the $6 million man had to fight Bigfoot. Like that was appointment viewing when you had only three TV channels and no fucking life whatsoever. Like Lee Majors is going to fight a slightly bigger dude with a wig on. This is going to be awesome. Yes.
Has anything aged worse than the $6 million man? That's a knee replacement and like a three-day hospital stay.
I know. The $6 million man. I know.
As a six-year-old, I was disappointed because you could see the zipper on the suit of the thing. Like, they had to shoot around it. You could see it.
I was laughing with Dr. Drew. I can't remember if we were talking about this, but the $6 million man crashed an experimental aircraft, and it was an actual aircraft that crashed. It was like an experimental Delta wing, whatever, crashed when it was landing at Edwards Air Force Base or whatever. That story is true. The pilot of that experimental aircraft like lost two limbs and was burned and jacked up and everything, and they made the $6 million man. Now, there was the $6 million man, and then they spun it off into the bionic woman, who was, her deal is she had a parachuting accident, and that's why, and then later on, they had the bionic dog, which was like a German shepherd. Her dog, the bionic woman's dog, was a German shepherd who also had all their like limbs removed. And like, I remember being 13 and someone's like, how did she get a bionic dog? And I was like, chute didn't open. She actually. Well, what else? What else was there? Like, I don't know. Her chute didn't open, and I guess the dog chute didn't open.
I love how they gave him the value, $6 million man, and then bionic woman. They didn't like even do the 72% less thing. They didn't like do the pay gap.
Oh,
they just said bionic woman. She has no value.
In 1978, there's a guy smoking, going, "Well, I don't get what's wrong with bionic bitch. Why is that?" it's called alliteration. Bionic woman? I don't think so.
She doesn't have to wear a bra if she doesn't want to. We understand.
Yes, she got into a skydiving accident, and that's why she had her shit all fixed up. All right, let me do a little business here. I'll do Bet Online. The wait is finally over. Football season back up and running, people. Yeah, you want to get in on some of this action, and you can still do it at Bet Online Sunday. The games are coming up. This is 9:20, by the way, this week. Rams, Bills, Titans, Vikings, Texans, Steelers, Buccaneers, Broncos, Packers, Saints, Raiders, and Patriots. More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads to totals to props. Get in on season-opening bonuses. Wager on wins, championship futures. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Gina, let's do one more.
You got it. Well, I know people are imbibing, having a good time, and far be it for me not to give you all your choices. So in case you haven't heard, Taco Bell Canada is debuting a custom wine called, Brian, get ready to just puke in your shoe, Jalapeno Noir.
It's not bad.
It's a wine for customers in select cities around Canada. It is not cheap, $25 a bottle, but the reason they put it out is they want it to go with their toasted cheesy chalupa. They say, together, the duo is irresistible. The rich taste and crunchy texture of the beloved toasty cheesy chalupa complements notes of wild strawberry, cherry, and beetroot in this silky limited edition red wine.
Yeah, so here's the thing, Taco Bell. First off, you're Taco Bell. You don't need to make dessert. Every 6 years, they roll out a dessert. Yeah. Like, what is this dessert? These are broken taco shells that we put cinnamon on? Okay, you're just trying to repurpose taco shells at this point. Like, you're trying to sell us fucking surplus taco shells. You're not allowed to do dessert. You're not allowed to do wine. That's the whole thing. Like, what? At some point, like, oh, Taco Bell, yes, we've launched a new birth control. This is a new form of birth control. It's a tostada that you put in front of your coos that can't be penetrated. But, like, just, you fucking, you're Taco Bell. Stay in your lane. Right. Do Taco Bell. You're not allowed to do dessert. You're not allowed to do wine. And Pizza Hut, if you're listening, you don't get to do fucking dessert either. That's like, oh, we have a brownie pizza. No, that's not dessert. You can't do dessert, and you can't do booze. Brian?
Speaking of pizza, the Taco Bell fans are ripshit pissed because they announced no more Mexican pizza.
That's right.
No more what?
No Mexican, more Mexican pizza.
Oh, really?
Yep.
It's racist?
R.I.P.
That's racist, yeah.
It's too racist. I didn't know. I've been ordering that for years. I had no fucking idea it was that bad. I'm sorry.
All right, Gina. Do we bring it home?
We'll bring it home right now. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina!
That was the news with Gina Grad. Brought to you by Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
All right. I'm going to bid adieu to Gina and Bald Brian. Thank you, guys,
bye.
As per usual. John Holmberg, I'm going to bid adieu to as well. Holmberg's Morning Sickness, weekdays, 5:30 to 10 a.m. on 98 KUPD as well. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Adam.
Get your Adam Carolla's unprepared questions ready for the last segment of the show. We'll do that in just 1 second. First, a quick spot. True Niagen. I don't know if you guys are on True Niagen. I'm on True Niagen. I've been taking this daily supplement for about 6 months now. Dr. Drew, no one looks better in his underpants than Dr. Drew. We both feel great. NAD is a vital cellular resource that supports daily functions like eating, sleeping, and even breathing, by the way, which last I checked was important. As we get older, NAD levels may decline by as much as 50% due to stressors like aging, alcohol. Yes, alcohol. Lack of exercise, sun exposures. So when the NAD levels get low, your cells have to work super hard to replenish it. And all I can tell you is Shannon Sharp takes this True Niagen, and so does Dr. Drew, and so do I. And all I can tell you is I actually packed it with me on this trip because I will not leave the house without it. So what you do is you visit TRUNIAGEN.com today. Use the code Adam and do it at checkout to $20 off any 3 month plus order through October 1st at True Niagen. All right, who's got a question? Yes, right there. College. Okay. I've never been prouder to tell people I didn't go to college. It used to be like a dirty little secret, you know, like doing time with having a rap sheet, you know, getting a shitty score on your SATs, going to a shitty junior college or whatever it was. It was something that I felt ashamed of. Like, I didn't go to college, and all you other people went to college. I was hanging out the other day. I did a thing with Dennis Prager, Ben Shapiro, and Dave Rubin. Nobody has more education than Ben Shapiro, Dave Rubin, and Dennis Prager. Nobody. Nobody. And they're all talking about how fucked up college has become. And I looked at all these three guys and I went, I never went to college. And they're like, oh, can we suck your dick? You're a hero. I never felt like a bigger hero because I didn't do something or go somewhere. But this is the sad, sad truth about college is it's now something to aspire to, which is not going to college. Like it used to be like, this is the first, he's the first kid in our family to go to college. And now my son's going to be like the first kid in our family to fuck college and get a goddamn job and fight to keep it. So... Also, what are you learning in college these days that isn't on your phone?
Bullshit.
All you're fucking learning is to hate your parents and hate America and hate the system and how, you know, we're built on the everything was built in this country on white supremacy and slavery and how you fucking should hate your neighbors and hate everyone who has more than $10 and everyone. And by the way, this thing where it's like anyone who is your boss, anyone who's your superior, anyone who has a corner office, they only got that way because of their white privilege or their whatever the fuck privilege or their the patriarchy or whatever it is. It's just become some sort of mill to make people pissed off and angry at the world. And then we unleash these douchebags and expect them to work. Fuck that. I would much rather everyone here do what Israel does, which is, I think, 2 years in the service. Like, you get out of high school, you do 2 years in the service, you learn how to do a little Krav Maga. There's also a version of it where you wear a cowboy hat called Tim McGraw. Stupid joke. Dumb joke. The point is, it'll never be told again, so don't worry about it. The point is you get out of high school, you fucking learn to do something, and then if you want to go to college, fine. But I would suggest, in this day and age, just learn a business, learn a trade, get your information. I used to hire people. When we used to do the man show, we would hire people all the time, and they would always come in with their resume, with their college, like what college they went to. We never gave a shit what college they went to. We always just were like, are you funny or are you good at softball? Those were the two. The main criteria for hiring was, are you funny or are you a good shortstop? Because we play a game at the end of every season, and I need to pick some ringers on my team this year. The one guy I hired, I've told you guys this story before, but it always makes me laugh. I never knew what college anybody went to. One guy came in, his name was Adam De La Pena, and he came in, and he was wearing a crazy Hawaiian shirt, and me and Jimmy said, we're thinking about hiring you as a writer, but what's the story with the shirt? And he goes, I made it myself. And we went, what? You made your own Hawaiian shirt? And he goes, I sewed it myself. And we went, really? And he went, you hire me, I'll sew you two a shirt too. And we were like, you are hired. So all the fucking college was just money thrown in a fucking hamper and set on fire. All right. Other questions? Yes. What's that?
Drywall.
Oh, this is going to be good. Are we talking half inch or 5/8? We half inch. All right. You want to talk green board or just straight drywall?
Green
board. All right. Now, they have purple board too. All right. I used to hang drywall. Drywall hanging sucks. Moving drywall is the worst thing ever. You know what I was saying the other day? So when I used to work construction. What would happen is they would drop off like 6 pallets of drywall right in the front of the house. And then someone would go, the worst Wednesday I ever had in my life is when I was 19. I was making $7 an hour. And they were like, there was a stack of drywall 5 feet high. And it was just right in front of the house. And my foreman came up to me and he's like, hey, I need 31 pieces in the master bedroom upstairs. I need 29 pieces in the living room. I need 14 pieces in the kids' room and 14 in the other kids' room and 26 pieces downstairs in the basement. And I just spent the entire fucking day trying to destroy my back, picking up 2 pieces at a time. Has anyone carried drywall? It's 4 foot by 8 foot. You have one fucking hand on the ground, the other's above your head, and you're just carrying this thing. And that's all I did was wrench my back and try to carry 2 at a time and drag it upstairs and everything. Now I see people moving drywall. They have this little cart. It has 2 wheels on it. It has a little slot in the middle of it. It's probably $28. They just put this thing with 2 fucking skateboard wheels or shopping cart wheels on it. It's got a little slot. They put 4 pieces and they just da 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 la 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 la. I'm just moving drywall anywhere I want. My back's fine. No problemo. And I was like, why didn't we have this fucking thing? By the way, this could have been invented by the Romans. It really could have. I fucking wrenched my back in 1989 carrying this fucking shit all over the place. This thing, which the invention was essentially wheels put on a slot that made it easy to move plywood and drywall and everything that was 4x8, wasn't invented until 2004. It's the same thing. Like, I didn't get, what's the deal with wheels? We had wheels. Every one of us drove a truck there. We didn't drive a truck there on fucking tracks. We had wheels. Why didn't somebody think about this? It's the answer is no one gave a shit about people back then. My foreman would see me carrying this drywall upstairs with my back dragging on the ground. He'd go, look at that fucker. I hope he never walks right again. The fucking wheels on the trash can, it took 57 years to put wheels on trash cans. When I was a kid, we had the metal trash can. I had to drag the fucking trash can out. Sparks were coming out. It was scarring up the asphalt driveway. Kids were having epileptic seizures because of the sound of the metal. Drag, 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 drag it out. Go. At some point in 1997, somebody went, I have a fucking capital idea. What if we put wheels on a trash can? It was the same with fucking luggage. Nobody thought to put wheels on luggage. Nobody thought to put wheels on trash cans. Nobody thought to put wheels to move drywall. No one had any of these thoughts. And I'm telling you why. We like the punitive part of it. We like the punishment part of it. My stepdad used to look out the window while I was dragging that fucking trash can and beat off. He'd be like, look at him. That fucker's miserable. By the way, did you guys have metal trash cans when you were a kid? I'll tell you, the most humiliating thing that ever happened to my family, and my family was white trash, man. And we had furniture that my mom got from the curb and put sheets over to upholster it. We drank out of fucking containers we got at the 7-Eleven, you know, that had Steve Garvey's face on it, you know, like stupid, like get all the Dodgers trading cups and all this kind of shit. It was all white trash. It was all humiliating. But the most humiliating thing that ever happened is we would never throw anything out. And at a certain point, the trash cans would start to corrode. The bottom would, like, leak. You know what I mean? It would get all fucked up. The galvanized steel, they'd get all rusty. They're basically a tetanus shot waiting to happen. And at some point, if your family didn't have enough dignity to go out and spend $9 on new trash cans,
the trash man would put you out of your misery. Like, at a certain point, the guy would pick up the rusty, galvanized, dented piece of shit trash can with the tabs all bent in and the thing all fucked up from the time your stepdad backed into it drunk. And at a certain point, he would go, "If you're not going to do it, I am." And he would launch the entire trash can. The trash can would itself become trash as well. And then you'd walk out trying to salvage your dignity, like, "Hey, where's our trash cans?" The trash man just fucking put it. This is essentially like Old Yeller. Like, he just put a bullet in the head of that trash can. He put it out of its misery. And you're like, "Well, what do you mean? We had like three more Thursdays left in that fucking bad boy. My stepson was going to throw his back out, dragging that shit out for three more Thursdays. Come on. Glad he got used to dragging that shit around. Later on, he'll be dragging drywall around a construction site, so he'll be ready for this shit." Drywall. Now, do you guys know the origin of drywall, the history of drywall? Anyone who's torn apart a few houses knows they made lath, and then they put plaster on the lath. So drywall wasn't invented until like 1959 or something. Before that, in the 20s and 30s or whatever, they used lath. It's like little thin pieces of probably like rough cedar or something like that. And then they'd put shit over it. They put the plaster over it. These were craftspeople back then. These were drunken Irishmen who got a dollar a day to do this shit, but they were fucking proud. Later on, some genius said, "Why do we need to put the lath on and the plaster on it? Why don't we invent something called button board?" This isn't funny, by the way, but it's informative. "We will take drywall, essentially, with divots in it, call it button board. We'll fucking do the whole thing in this button board, and then we will go ahead and put the plaster on top of the button board so we don't have to do all the lath work." And then at some point, somebody said, "Hey, genius, what if you just did the button board without the fucking buttons in it, and we just called it a day?" That became drywall. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Now, I could do 20 minutes on joint compound versus topping, but I don't want to bore you guys. All right, give me another one. Processed cheese and my mom. All right, we'll do them in that. We'll do them in that order. I'll do my mom first, because she's old. She may die before she hears this. I got one COVID-19 joke out of this whole thing, which is about my mom. I don't like my mom. I don't like visiting my mom. I don't like hanging out with my mom. And so everyone is worried about their elderly parents, and my mom's elderly. So the one good thing to come of this COVID-19 business is I don't have to visit my elderly mom. And as a matter of fact, I'm this close to convincing her the virus can be spread over the phone. That joke illustrates how much I dislike my mom. Processed cheese? Well, I've no love lost for processed cheese. I never liked processed cheese. I don't like fucking fake anything. I've never understood. I don't like fake cheese. I don't like Sunny D. I don't like silicone titties. I don't like any of it. Silicone tits are, I don't know, what are we calling them now? Are they, they're nice, but what are they? They're saline bags now, right? You know what's weird is they have serial numbers on them. Somebody was telling me that there was like a house fire and a woman was trapped inside and she was burned beyond recognition. And the only way they could identify her is through the serial number on her fake titties that were left behind. That's what they said. I know that we have a plastic surgeon here who doesn't agree with this story. Like, come on. Those titties wouldn't have made it through the fire. It's a good story. Maybe it's not true. You try beating off to dental records. Yeah. Not that you have to beat off to identifying remains, but you should. I'm only human. You're a weirdo if you do it to dental records. Yes, I do not like American cheese. I don't like processed cheese. And as I told you guys the last time I was in Texas, I said, let's get some good Tex-Mex because we're here in Texas. And we went to a good Tex-Mex place. And I said, I want cheese enchiladas. And they're always, here's the thing about Mexican food. They're always trying to corrupt it. They're always going like, oh, would you like some chicken in your cheese enchiladas? Like, no. Would you like some beef in your cheese enchiladas? No. Would you like some pubic hair? No. I want cheese enchiladas. There's a thing called enchiladas. There's cheese enchiladas. I like cheese enchiladas. I'm ordering cheese enchiladas. They brought cheese enchiladas, and it had American cheese in it. Oh, for the fucking love of Christ. And by the way, you assholes out there always do this thing with me when I get something and it's horrible and I talk about the whole meal, about how much it sucks, and at the very end they go, well, you did eat the whole thing. Fuck you. Of course I'm going to eat the whole fucking thing. I'm a poor person from the San Fernando Valley. Those things cost $11. Yes, I'm going to fucking eat the whole thing. Fuck you. I was miserable the entire time. All right, let's do one more. What do we got? Dr. Drew. Dr. Bruce, Dr. Drew. Oh, Dr. Ruth. Dr. Ruth. She's the sex doctor, right? I used to listen to Dr. Ruth on the car radio many years ago, like in the 80s. You remember she had that syndicated radio show? And it was great because she had that little German accent, and she'd be talking about, you know, venereal diseases and crabs and everything. And it was always weird. And she'd do that little, like, she had this little high little German voice. And there's one story I remember, and it was the best. And I love people who call into radio shows, because people who call into radio shows are amongst the dumbest people on the fucking planet. They're always the dumbest. You know how they are? Like, they go, first off, they always start off with something stupid. Like, they go, thanks, Dr. Ruth. It's good to meet me. You know, they always get nervous and fuck up, you know? They give a fake name, you know? So they go, like, Dan, line 3. Dan, what's your problem? Dan? Oh, right. I named myself Dan. My name's Fred, but I made up the name Dan because I wanted to rank on my fucking wife and how bad her pussy smells. But in the 9 minutes I was on hold, I forgot my fake name. I love how dumb callers to radio shows are. I did a radio show for 10 years. I fucking marvel at how dumb all the callers were. But Dr. Ruth, this caller took the cake, because this caller, this was the best. Totally true. I remember where I was. I was driving my truck on the Ventura Freeway in North Hollywood, getting ready to get off on the Coldwater exit. It was like 1985, and a guy called in to Dr. Ruth's syndicated radio show, and he's like, Dr. Ruth, you know, I got my girlfriend. We've been having sex a lot, and, you know, we're not using protection. She's not on the pill. I'm not using condoms, and, you know, she's not pregnant. She's not getting pregnant, but I don't know. I'm, like, a little worried she might get pregnant because we're not using protection. And Dr. Ruth goes, well, do you pull out? And the guy pauses for, like, a 5 Mississippi, and he goes, well, yeah, when I'm done.
Oh,
actually thought he was asking me, you don't go to work with your dick in her? And you, like, take a sweat jacket and just sort of place it between her puss and your cock, and you just kind of walk sideways into the restaurant. All right, you guys, I want to thank you for coming out tonight. Thirty-second Geico here. Ah, right now, last but not least, Geico is offering you an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies, 15% on top of what you could already be saving if you're going with Geico. So do what are you waiting for? Get yourself set up and go with Geico. Never been a better time to save a bunch on your auto insurance than now at Geico.com. That is Geico.com. All right, I want to thank you guys for coming out tonight. I want to thank Gina Grad and Bald Brian and John Holmberg. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get Adam's new book. I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere and at AdamCarolla.com. It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Well, no sense in wasting any time. Let's dive right into a great week two of the NFL. There were some killer games, and we're going to have to, Gary Smith, start with the Chargers, your Chargers, losing an absolute heartbreaker to the Chiefs, 23-20. So many ways they could have won that game.
Yes.
But you got to admit, Justin Herbert looked good. He had to step in for Tyrod Taylor. He looked like the future of the franchise. And this was a college quarterback who was considered iffy, in a sense, coming in. He was drafted high, but out of all the quarterbacks and athletes who were drafted, he was the guy like, can he put it together running and throwing in the bigs? And it looks like he can.
Yeah. I mean, first, let me apologize to the fans. With Adam and Tempe, I'm stepping in for today and tomorrow's episodes, but he'll be back on Wednesday. Fear not. But yes, Jeff, I got to agree. I screamed some four-letter words and threw some stuff back in April when I was watching the draft. I wasn't wild about this pick. I mean, I wasn't pessimistic, but it wasn't the quarterback I wanted. We all knew the Chargers were going QB in their pick, you know, right up there in the top six or seven. And this wasn't what I wanted, but I feel a lot better about it today. That's for sure. He looked great. I mean, I don't think he's ready to lead the team for the rest of the season necessarily to the postseason and beyond the promised land right this second, but he stood in there, you know, throw for throw with the best in the business, right?
Yeah, he really did. Now, but take us through the emotional pain.
Well, the emotional pain.
How many swear words is your child learning? Your child's now.
He's about 14 months and he knows almost all of them. You know, it was an emotional roller coaster of a day for me. I've become friendly with a friend of the show, comedian Rob Riggle, who is famously a big Kansas City Chiefs fan. And Rob likes to talk a little smack, and he and I are in a pick'em league together, so we do talk a little smack. And when it comes time for a Chiefs-Chargers game, I started the morning with an email letting him know where I thought his Chiefs could go, and we went back and forth most of the day because Rob is currently in quarantine in Australia waiting to do the Australian version of his golf show, Holy Moly. So I think Rob had not much better to do than to talk trash with me over email. So
wow.
Rob
the
and
Australian, hang on, don't bury the lead here. The Australian version of Holy Moly.
Yeah, you know the ABC putting show. Yeah,
it's
an
sort of a variation of Wipeout,
yeah,
essentially.
With golf.
But played on sort of with mini golf as the centerpiece.
Right.
And it's
here in America it's
Joe
Rob
Tessitore.
And Tessitore, yeah. Down I can't remember who his co-host is, but it's a Tessitore equivalent in Australia, but they keep Rob for the comedy.
The Italian Joe Tessitore. Yeah. Wow, I didn't know that existed. That's impressive there. So now did you at least get to talk some smack back on the fact that KC was favored by 8.5.
Yes, I did.
And barely won the game by 3.
Yes, I did. And, you know, I will say the emotions were strong. The game going into overtime added a little bit of extra stress because I had a family birthday to go to that night, and there was a moment there where I thought I was going to have to leave before the game was over. So emotions were running high. But, you know, I will say that at the end of that game, some things were thrown when a particular penalty wasn't called on, I think it was Tyreek Hill
There was a guy who took his helmet off.
Yeah,
I almost said hat, just because that's how casually it looked when he flipped his helmet off.
He claims
looked like he was just taking off a ball cap.
He claims that it just came off, and I will say that, yeah, when you put your hand on the face mask and push upwards, it will just come off, because that's what he did, and he wasn't flagged for it, and that's what ended up tying the game, was their ability to go for two there and get it to 17-all.
That right there is the sound of bitter acrimony.
Yeah, that right there is the sound of a Chargers fan, yeah.
It probably should have been called.
Sure.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
I would have to say, if you look at both sides of that, that is a rule. And should have been, if you're going to call it, you got to call it.
Yeah.
All right, let's allow you to recover a little bit. My Packers looked amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go down to everybody's teams. We'll talk about it later when the whole crew's together. But so my Packers look good. I won that one. 49ers obliterated the Jets, but they did lose both Raheem Mostert and Nick Bosa and Garoppolo for a little bit.
Yeah, and Brian took the Jets.
Ball Brian picked against him, so he's gone. And
so Brian loses five ways because he loses all his weapons and the game?
Yeah, so he had a bad week.
Yeah.
He had a bad week. But let's dive into outside of your game, maybe the most fascinating game, which was – The Cowboys coming back from like 20 down against who else? The Falcons, who are known for blowing these giant fourth quarter leads now. I mean, they're really starting to become snake bit. They win 40-39. Tremendous play by, Prescott and Zeke Elliott, but little known kicker Greg Zuerlein.
Yeah.
Pops off an onside kick that looked like a broken cat toy.
Yeah, and
just rolling around on an unlevel.
For anyone who hasn't seen it,
this is how they win. This is how they beat the Falcons.
Yeah,
because the Falcons stood around. Watch this. You got to see this.
So here we go. Dallas needs this without
No tee.
He just kind of scoops it around.
Kicks it sideways. I've heard it described as a watermelon kick. So it was just spinning round and round. And the Falcons inexplicably stood there and didn't touch it.
So nobody for the Falcons jumped on this ball. Four, maybe five guys had a clean look at it, like perhaps a really badly wounded pigeon walking down the street where you go, hey, should we pick it up and help the pigeon? I don't know. Would you pick it up and help the pigeon? No. Why don't we ask these two guys if they would? You know, I would, but I think you should think twice about picking up a pigeon, as slow moving as it is, because you never know what kind of gym. Oh, somebody else picked it up. Oh, he's in a cowboy uniform. That's kind of how that whole thing went down.
It was bizarre.
And the coach, Dan Quinn, claimed everybody knew their rules. They all had their jobs to do, which is the first three guys are supposed to block, and then the second two guys are supposed to handle it. Only if it's a high bounce and a weird kick, and then they're supposed to go to their area. He had this whole thing schematic, but when you watch the footage, it's literally four Atlanta Falcons watching the ball. They're not looking to block anybody. They're not looking to take some responsibility in some other quadrant of the field. They literally are watching this ball bounce down slowly down the field without doing a thing about it.
I've got to correct just one word you said there. They're watching it spin, because if it was bouncing, I can give a little bit of leniency for, well, you don't want to get too close because it can bounce off my knee and then it's live at, you know, before 10 yards.
True.
But they're just watching it spin. These guys are 250 and they lift. I feel like if you fall on it, you're probably going to be able to secure that ball pretty good. It's not bouncing. It's just spinning. You put your chest on
it. It's a dreidel kick.
Exactly.
It's literally a dreidel kick.
It is.
A poor, like a seven-year-old trying to spin a dreidel. That's what the kick was.
Didn't use a tee.
Just laid it flat on its belly, the ball, and then didn't really even kick it.
No.
He just kind of, he literally, like, you know, when you're going down the street and you go, is that a piece of gum? I don't want to step on it. It was that foot move.
And if you look at the angle of it, it, for the first 8 yards that it travels, he kicked it at such an extreme angle, it looked like it was going to get to the sidelines before it got to 10 yards. It looked like an abysmal kick.
And then the Atlanta guys all kind of walked up to the ball like, hey, what's this?
Yeah.
Is this a dreidel?
Yeah, exactly.
And they just watched it. They lose the ball. Dallas gets it. Dallas wins the game. Very sad. And the Atlanta owner, the esteemed Arthur Blank, who is well-respected in the league, just came out and said, essentially, our players, he contradicted his own coach and said, our players did not know the rules.
Which
I should have jumped on the ball. And Quinn doubled down and said, our players did know the rules. And I think you got to read between the lines here. What Arthur Blank to me is saying is, don't bother installing the rest of that state-of-the-art solar system, Dan. You may be gone at the end of the year. You can't do that.
If I'm Arthur Blank, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Because look, I appreciate Arthur Blank's honesty, because I hate when these own. I understand being in lockstep with your staff and the guys you're paying millions of dollars, and you want to project confidence. But you watch that footage, you know, twice. It's very apparent that at least two guys didn't know their job. Probably more like 8 or 9 guys. But
I would say four to five.
Yes.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Did not know their job.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So. So, come out and be honest with it and say, yes, I am a football-loving American as well. I've watched the footage. Clearly, those guys did not know their job, and it cost us the game. And, yeah, start updating that CV there, their coach, because I'm not happy with that.
Well, let's shift to something even weirder but more positive, which is the sport that may be going through the biggest revolution of all sports is golf, if you can believe it. Bryson DeChambeau just won the U.S. Open by 6 strokes, incidentally, has 2 other wins, 4 top 10 finishes already this year, and he's doing it all with this incredibly scientific analytic approach that allows him to essentially pulverize the ball every chance he can get, cut dog legs, just hit right over the forest. Completely hammer the ball until he gets it to the green and then putt the hell out of it. And he says it's all science, and science has never let him down. He's 235 now, and he wants to get up to 250.
Yeah.
That's Bryson DeChambeau right now. That's
a golfer.
Essentially a number one golfer right now. He looks like an MMA guy. He looks crazy.
No, you see that guy, you don't want to catch that guy in an alley. That guy looks like he could beat the hell out of almost anything. And, you know, Jeff, not for nothing, but maybe I'm getting a little old. My dad tried to get me into golf when I was, you know, back around 10 or 11. And back in those days, this is what a golfer that was 230 looked like. And
that's what 235 looked like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Cigarette, beer, wild pants. That's John Daly, of course.
Yeah.
And beer filled man boobs. That now it's this cut guy. It's like beast mode. It's like Marshawn Lynch golfing.
Yeah.
That's what Bryson DeChambeau looks like to me. And here's how he does it. He goes to the gym, lifts like crazy, works out like crazy, eats steak, and downs protein shake after protein shake. That's what he's into. And he says he keeps swinging as hard as humanly possible. And he checks his launch monitors and his arc angles, and he just runs it all through the computer with the numbers. And he keeps taking aggressive lines no one else in the field is going to take. Now, they thought it was going to catch up to him, Gary, at the U.S. Open. Everybody's kind of had a cockeyed approach to this. They've been looking at Bryson DeChambeau, go, okay, I can see it on the Blue Monster, you know, Doral down in Florida. Just keep pounding, wide open fairways. But they designed the U.S. Open specifically to be won by the chess players. It's the one major championship that rewards accuracy over anything else. And he didn't play chess. He played Rock'em Sock'em Robots. He just went out there, won by 6 strokes. He pounded it.
Yeah.
It's that's like winning a football game by 40.
Yeah.
You win the US Open by 6 strokes. That's crazy.
To your point, I mean, there was a lot of guys out there who weren't even using their woods. They were out there trying to use 2 irons and stuff because the fairways are so designed in such a way with such undulation that you have to be able to put it dead in the middle or it'll roll off and you're in a bunch of trouble with the long rough and the dew. But no, DeChambeau went out there, you know, he was playing Go while everyone else was playing checkers. It was crazy.
You know, I like Naked from the Waist Up look for. He should play that way. That would be super intimidating.
He'd get a lot of sponsors for the ladies, that's for sure. He's
a couple of tattoos.
Yeah.
Why not? Sponsor the old sponsored tattoo sponsorship. All right, I think we're done. Do we have any odds for coming up, or do we need any odds?
I think we're going to leave that to Ace and Brian and Gina when they come back on Wednesday. We got to go over there, bet the farm Friday, but I think that that recap of how every one of them did, we'll touch on it with them again.
Bet the farm Friday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Brian's not going to be happy.
No, he's not.
On behalf of Gary Smith here, it's Jeff Cesari, and that's it for All Balls, All Sports.
All Balls, All Sports. Presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.